Hello and welcome to our UFC 320 post show. Shout out to the boys in the back. Tremendous job with the watch party as always. And shout out to the brand new UFC light heavyweight champion, or should I say the brand old, or maybe the once again, I don't know. Point is, and you probably figured it out in case you didn't watch, Alex Perez, your new UFC light heavyweight champion. Again, he defeats Magomed Ankalaev in very quick fashion. First round TKO. All it really took was an overhand right from all the way in Brazil. That's where it looked like it came from. An overhand right seemed to have hit Ankalaev like about here, like a little bit over the ear, and then dropped him and then just unleashed 12 to 6 elbows on the head to the body. And he threw those elbows. He inflicted that ground and pound with anger. Like there was anger. The whole thing, even in the aftermath, it felt like he was still angry, because as he said in the post-fight interview, he wasn't himself back in March when they fought at UFC 313. He said no one believed him. Some did. And here was his opportunity to prove his point. He also did that thing which Rick or GC probably know where it comes from. It's from some sort of TikTok thing where he goes like this. He did it over Jamal Hill. Well, he did it three times right over Magomed Ankalaev. And then he made sure to say Shama a few times in his face, because Ankalaev said prior to the fight that there would be no more Shama. Of course, Shama reigns supreme, and he is once again the man. I mean, he comes across as a superstar. I said on Wednesday, deep down inside the UFC, if they were being honest, they would admit they needed him to win, and he won. He's one of the biggest stars in the sport, one of the most beloved figures in the sport. And for him to come back like that, to make it undeniable, to make it as clean and as one-sided and as dominant as he just did, a little over a minute. Let me get the exact time if I can pull it up right over here. The exact time is, according to our friends at Tapology, it is so quick that they didn't even have it up yet. 1 minute and 20 seconds. So 80 seconds is all it took for Alex Pereira to dispose of Magomed Ankalaev, the guy who took his belt away from him back in March and who beat him back then via unanimous decision. Also of note, co-main event, Merab Dualishvili might just be the greatest bantamweight of all time. I hate that kind of talk in the immediate aftermath of a fight, but he might just be the greatest bantamweight champion and fighter of all time. 20 takedowns against Corey Sandhagen. He wins via unanimous decision. He becomes the first UFC fighter to have 100-plus takedowns in his career. A very dominant affair in which he almost stopped him in the second round. We'll talk about all of that and a whole lot more. Jiří Procházka is insane. There's a lot to get into, but it's not just me here tonight. We do it back to back. Last night, we were livid. Last night, we were agitated. Last night, we were disgusted. This time around, I don't think so. It was a great card. I'm talking to my friend, the patron saint of the Emerald Isle, the host of the critically acclaimed podcast, The Crack, Mr. P.T. Carroll. It's a little later in the day. Dare I say, it's a little earlier in the morning for you. How are you holding up, P.T.?
I'm doing good. And that main card really woke me up as well. And no judging controversy. Like, only the one fight went the distance on the main card today, right? So we don't have to do any of that tonight, which is nice. But blown away by Poatan. The rumors of his demise were greatly exaggerated. Even all week, I was asking Guilherme Cruz, the Brazilian beast, the greatest reporter in the history of Brazilian combat sports. I was saying, is this worrying you, this new Alex Pereira, the way he has been acting all week, the new talkative way? You know, he's doing interviews to his phone. He's posting on the internet. I was like, is this a bit of a tell? And Guilherme admitted to me that he was very worried. And then suddenly he just gets shot out of a cannon as soon as that bell rings. And honestly, is there a more terrifying champion in the UFC in terms of the striking realm when he gets going? I really don't think there is. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, you look at these photos here, and again, the intensity in which he displayed. This man was possessed. I mean, it got very personal, as we've talked about. It got very personal between the two of them. Ankh did his part. Like, let's be honest, a lot more people care about Magomed Ankalaev today than they did a year ago. And that's due to the fact that he played his part. He played the heel. He said the things that fired up Alex Pereira. People were booing him in Las Vegas. And I think he was okay with that. I think he set things up to be the bad guy. And so credit to him for that. But Pereira, I think, just absolutely despises this guy. I think that that is very clear. And for him to go out there and rock him, I won't say drop him, because he landed the overhand right, and then Ankalaev kind of shoots because he was rocked, and then he unleashes those elbows again to the body, to the head. I have seen a couple of people, PT, say that they thought that the shots were being defended, that they were being blocked. Did you think it was early, or were you okay with the stoppage?
No, I felt as though Herb was showing Ankalaev that I'm here. You know, I'm here, I'm waiting for you to defend yourself, I'm waiting for you to change position here. I did feel as though, like, he gave him some opportunity, maybe not the longest amount of time, but I do feel as though he gave him opportunity, let him know that he was in a situation, a fight-ending situation, and nothing changed from there. Now, granted, it's easy for me to say that I'm not defending massive elbows from Alex Pereira while this is going down, but I do feel as though Herb gave him a good chance to get up. I don't think there should be any massive issues with that, if I'm being honest.
So unofficially, as far as UFC stats are concerned, Pereira 28 of 45 as far as total strikes, Ankalaev 4 of 9. You know what's crazy to me? When we were talking about this fight before the first one happened, when we were talking about whether or not the UFC would want to make this fight and whether, you know, Ankalaev would be Pereira's kryptonite, what did we focus on? We focused on the takedowns, right? Now, after two fights, Magomed Ankalaev is 0 for 13 in takedown attempts against Alex Pereira. 0 for 12 back in March, 0 for 1 today. Who saw that coming? It's pretty remarkable, right? I mean, I know this was a really quick fight, but the 0 for 12, obviously, it was in a fight in which he won, and Pereira just wasn't himself. Who would have thought that Ankalaev would have outstruck Pereira the first time they fought? But I just think that's an unbelievable stat. And look, Dana White wasn't there, so we couldn't get a sense for how he feels about the proceedings. But let's be honest, just like I said back in March, I stick by it. This is a great result for the UFC. Pereira being on top of this division is very good for them. And I know, there was some talk, even you and Guilherme spoke about it. All right, if he loses, no big deal. He could go up to heavyweight and he'd probably be the biggest threat to Tom Aspinall. But Pereira being on top of this division, and we'll talk about the potential options, there's really two next for him, I think is very good for business. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I think we're often on these shows and we're talking about, you know, we just need a bit of new life in these divisions. We want to see some new guys up there. And tonight, the toast of the town is two former champions of this division, and it's injected so much energy into it. And look, you're dead right in what you're saying. All of the stuff that was coming out in the lead up to this fight, even Din Thomas, great friends with Dana White, those comments getting reheated once again about this guy suits the PFL perfectly. He's a great fighter and nobody cares about him. You know, that was the kind of thing that we were hearing. You got to say that the division just feels completely different after what we've seen tonight.
Okay, so there isn't much to actually say about the fight other than I think both agree that Magomed Ankalaev isn't getting another crack at Pereira. Would you agree with that statement? Okay. Yeah. It was nice to see, you know, members of Pereira's team in back of him. I mean, Ed Soares and George Guimaraes have been around for so long. It's unbelievable. Just another champion. Obviously, Pereira, champion at 185, champion at 205. Now his third title reign. I mean, again, this was the guy that Israel Adesanya once said, like, you know, the only reason why he's here is because, you know, he beat me in kickboxing. Now this is his third different title reign, which is unbelievable. And you know, not to say anything of the actual title defenses as well. I'm going to jump around here for a second because it's all tied together. We saw Carlos Ellberg looking fantastic in that cutoff over in the, in the cage side position. And we saw Jiří Prochazka show up towards the end of the, Yuri was the one wearing the cutoff, I think. He was wearing some sort of like samurai sort of outfit. I'm not really sure what it was. It's not a samurai, but it was a tremendous look. Anyway, the point is, Jiří Prochazka won, and we'll get more into his fight in a moment. But Yuri's there. Carlos is there. They bring Jiří out for the main event. Carlos flew over from Australia to be there cage side. Now we get to the scenario that we talked about on Wednesday, because I asked you guys, remember we were talking about it, it was with you and GC. I asked you guys, okay, if Pereira wins and Prochaska wins, they probably go to Ullberg because Ullberg is the fresh matchup. But because the Prochaska fight was so crazy, was so dramatic, was so exhilarating, do you think there is a chance that Pereira versus Prochaska 3 is going to be next?
I would say, now tell me, am I wrong? Did the camera flash to Jiří being very emotional after Pereira won this fight, or am I losing my mind? I felt there was a cut to Jiří, and it almost seemed like he was welling up a bit, as if he felt
really
with Pereira winning
I
the
missed
fight.
That.
Maybe I've got this completely wrong. Maybe I've
okay. Frankie saw it too. Thank you, Frankie. So I did see the one great shot of him like overlooking Magomed at the beginning there. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes. No, but I'm talking after. Okay. It's almost like he's in reaction to what's happened. Oh. Now,
yeah,
we have read Jiří wrong, incorrectly before. He could be purely being motivated by seeing a former rival as him, rival of his, reach the pinnacle once again. It's like, this is the type of guy he is. Like, we don't really necessarily know. But I will say, and me and GC did mention this, Ullberg, that event in Perth wasn't great. It didn't move the needle. We know that has been a thing that has been cited before when we're thinking about putting guys in certain spots. I know it's a different era now. I like the Ullberg fight. I like the fresh rematch. But to say, like, Jiří hasn't catapulted himself straight back into that conversation with that kind of performance. I mean, he definitely did. The way it went down as well, it was the most Jiří shit of all time. I mean, two rounds, I thought Khalil Rountree looked absolutely tremendous. I thought he was like, wow, this is exactly... how he wants this to be going, but alas, I was incorrect. It was in fact exactly where Jiří wanted the fight to be going, because suddenly he just came to life in the third, and you could see immediately, as soon as he started connecting, Khalil was shocked by it. He was not ready for this guy to be coming at him with such intensity in the third round, even though we know Jiří does this. Just incredible, because he didn't look great in those first two rounds. It looked like remember Din Thomas coming over the commentary and saying, look at his legs, they're not underneath him. Something is wrong with this guy. I think Rogan at one stage, as he often does, was saying, I don't think this fight is going to last too long. And here he comes once again, this absolute berserker in the third round. I mean, where did we get this dude from? Have we ever had a guy like this before? He just feels completely unique. A complete fan favorite. The amount of text messages I just got just saying, Jiří, yes, nobody is doing that when Ullberg wins a fight, unfortunately. I think he's great, but they just aren't doing that shit. It's different gravy with Jiří.
If you would have asked me before this event, all right, Alex won and Jiří won. All right, what do they do with Alex? I would have said, oh, it's got to be Ullberg. Like, I love Jiří as much as anyone, but there's no chance. I sit here today and say, I think there's a great chance because of how incredible that was. You watch those first two rounds and you're like, man, Rountree just not the best kind of matchup for him. You know, he's just a little too precise. He's a little too technical. He's a little too composed. And then that third round happens and then he knocks him out like that. And you're like, holy shit, this guy, you know, I saw someone write, if Merab is undeniable, Jiří is inevitable. Like, it just seems like he is always going to pull something out of the fire. And, you know, he said in the post-fight interview, he said, you know, it was a little too easy in the first round for me. So, you know, I think what he was trying to imply was like, I get up for the big fights. I get up for the big opponents. And the first round was too easy. I don't think anyone scored the first round for him. I don't know what he's talking about as far as easy, but it's just amazing to hear this guy talk and the intensity in which he speaks and just his whole aura, his whole persona is incredible. Now, there's some people, so we're not doing this the usual way, but it's because, and I want to give Merab his due. He was the co-main event. He won, and it was a tremendous performance. But because the main event and then the third to last fight are connected, plus the Ullberg situation, we're kind of talking about this whole story as one big story. There are some people who are suggesting that, well, in the post-fight interview, after the main event, Alex Pereira said he had something in mind for his post-fight interview, because of what happened yesterday, he wanted to give a shout-out to John Jones, and he wanted everyone to have a moment of silence for John Jones's brother, Arthur Jones, former Syracuse football player, the former Baltimore Raven, the former Indianapolis Colt, who shockingly and tragically and suddenly died at the age of 39. Awful, awful story. Had the opportunity to meet Arthur a few times. Both went to Syracuse at around the same time, and he was a gentle giant. He was a teddy bear of a human being. So this is an awful thing. And so some suggested that he wanted to call out John Jones, but he did not want to be disrespectful. Now I'm seeing some other things that Carlos Ellberg is telling the media that he thinks Alex Pereira is moving up to heavyweight. And so maybe that's why he was thinking of John Jones, because John has shown no interest in going down to light heavyweight. So I don't really know exactly what is happening. Here's a tweet from John Jones saying, "Wow, Alex, you know, with the praying emoji." I don't really know exactly what's happening, but if everything stays the same, PT, I think there's a very good chance they go back to Jiří, and I never thought in a million years that that would happen.
No, and just in theory, right, this John Jones situation, I don't think that kind of happens now either, right? Like, obviously he's the champion at 205 and stuff, but even if there was a way, I don't think the UFC would entertain that because of how it played out with Aspinall, right? Is that how you're feeling about that as well? You're just essentially, you've passed out the belt to allow this fight to happen that John wanted the whole time. He kind of wins the war of public opinion at that stage, if you get me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really curious to see how they do matchmaking in this new Paramount era. Are they going to try to come out with like the, you know, like if Aspinall wins, do you try to do Aspinall versus Pereira as a super fight of some kind at the very beginning of
the
Paramount era?
They're very against that now though, right? They're very against that idea.
I know. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. By the way, I am watching a video here and Jiří does look a little emotional. You're right. He does look a little emotional. He's very intense watching.
And it could Ellberg also mean a million things, right? Like we're so foolish to be like, this is what he's thinking, because it's impossible to know.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, you need to get the phone out there, Helwani, and have a word with this man maybe early next week.
Alex Pereira, the first light heavyweight to recapture the title since John Jones did back in 2018. He is saying, Jiří, in this video, we're next. But also Carlos Ellberg is there kind of giving him like the old golf clap, like the, I'm not too impressed. Actually I'm looking at a tweet here. Ellberg is the one, sorry, who said we're next. Jiří's just standing there emotionally. I'm not really quite sure what he's thinking exactly.
See,
that
he's
moment.
Winning.
He is.
This is the aura battle.
Yes,
here.
Yes, and yes, Jiří, yes,
yes. Jiří is absolutely ruining him. I mean, who the fuck can actually step to this guy in terms of just being compelling? There is not anyone like this dude. Like, I mean, GC put out the video after he won of him just screaming in the middle of the rainforest. And you're like, yeah, fucking just do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Put him wherever he wants to be. We need more of this guy on the TV. And look, we talked about it for years. The UFC with the shorts and the uniforms and the lack of letting people go on a limb with things. It's very rare that you get such a unique character, and this guy seems to explode through all these barriers and still present this absolutely unique, one-of-a-kind athlete. Like, that is what Ellberg's up against there. I think Ellberg's a fantastic fighter. He's a beautiful looking man, fair play to him.
Yeah,
but Jiří, he is not.
By the way, if you didn't know any better, if you didn't know their history and you just saw the clip of him crying, you would think that like he's his longtime best friend. Like the look on his face is of genuine joy.
Reference.
And like, yes, it's unbelievable. This
but
guy
I think that's
is,
what it is,
Jenna.
I don't, I think he is genuinely, I think they are like sell it, like he's in awe of what's happening here rather than, oh no, something's slipped by me. I think he is feeling this moment. Let's not forget, like, this guy has been outside T-Mobile just draining the energy from the building the night before fights at some point. Like, it's, any amount of things could be happening here. I just don't fully think that we can comprehend this man's mood or thought process at any point, which makes him all the more captivating.
Let me ask you this.
See, look at this. The aura battle here. Look, come here. It's tough. I love you, Ellberg, but, you know, who is Jiří, you know?
Okay, so I was right. They were both wearing cutoffs, all right? Different kind of cutoffs. This one's a little bit more traditional, if you will. Also, didn't have the antenna this time. Seem to be okay. Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you like to see fight Alex? Forget about like, okay, this, but he did, like, just who would you like to see?
Is there a way, right, that we put Ellberg in against Alex and we look to put Jiří against someone where it will build the mood for, because it is 2-0 to Alex. You know, we have to keep that in mind here. Is there any way we can put Jiří in a captivating situation whereby whoever wins, be it Ullberg or Pereira, we are like jazzed to see Jiří back in there? That was one thing I was thinking after he won today. I was like, you know what? If I'm the UFC, I'm probably putting Jiří in against Ankalaev if he wins this main event, because again, you're putting the guy with a massive name. If he manages to do something spectacular to Jiří, it puts him over in a completely different way. And maybe that's what we should be looking at here, but
there's just not a lot of options, you know? And when he shows up like that,
like with the fucking cutoff on, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Crying when his rival.
I'd love to see him fight Jan Błachowicz, but Błachowicz is coming off a loss to Carlos Ellberg, a couple losses in a row.
But that's it. It's too much of a step back. And then if Jan beats him, it's like, well, there that goes. You know, like
the only guy who's got any kind of momentum right now at light heavyweight is maybe Johnny Walker, because of that win over Mingyang Zhang, and he is ranked 12th. You know,
yeah, it's
a tough one. It's a tough one, but man, what a win. What a win for Jiří. What a comeback. And you're right, he comes across fighting on this. They always put him in this pay-per-view slot. They always put him on a big show, it seems. The crowd was behind him. The crowd absolutely loved him. To do that on the same card, to be there sitting in the front row, there's a tough choice to be made here, because honestly, I don't know if there's a wrong choice. You know what
I
mean?
Can you put him on ice and let the Ullberg v. Pereira play out, and then Jiří's waiting there for the new champion, or the Pereira if he wins?
If you go with Ullberg, it makes total sense. He's coming off a big win. He's on this winning streak. He's a fresh opponent. It makes total sense. If you go with the hot hand, I mean, look, it sounds like they're going, by the way, it sounds like they're going in the direction of Alex Volkanovski versus Diego Lopez. Lopez won one fight and he got back in there. Who would have saw that coming? So this could be a very similar thing. And for Jiří, it's not just one fight, but I'm saying, like, you know, just because someone recently lost to the champion sounds like they don't really care. They're just going for what they probably think is the hottest fight, right? Yeah. Like the hottest hand.
But then Yuri's winning that in that argument.
100%. I mean, no one was talking about that fight last week. No one was even talking about it in Perth, let alone around the rest of the world.
So I think
Alex Pereira wins, Jiří Prochazka wins. The Jiří fight is one of the comeback performances of the year. He was legitimately down 2-0, and there was no sign of him coming back. I mean, they were talking about his legs. As you said, Dean Thomas was saying the fight was going to be over very soon if he didn't turn things around. Rogan saying the same type of stuff. They said he was off. They said he wasn't like himself. And then all of a sudden he wakes up in the third with that unbelievable knockout of a tremendous fighter. And you feel for Khalil because he was looking so good and he was fighting a very smart fight. And you know what? I feel for John Wood as well. He had to see his guy get knocked out and then run all the way to the back to corner his guy, Merab Dvalishvili. But it didn't seem to matter because Merab, as I said, seems to be undeniable at this point. He has won his 14th fight in a row. He lands 20 takedowns, which is a UFC record. Over 100 takedowns in his UFC career, which is a record. He has what I believed was a 10-8 second round. He was very close to getting his first finish on the feet via strikes since his spinning back fist knockout of Rafion Stotts back in 2017. That's how long it's been for him. He did have a ground and pound win in the UFC, but nothing quite like we saw in the second round here against Corey Sandhagen. By the way, shout out to Corey Sandhagen. In the end, he ended up making a bit of a comeback. He ended up, in most people's eyes, winning the fourth round. You can make the case that he won the first round as well. And so a valiant effort, but the 10-8 round, obviously a tough one in the second, and Merab won that fight fair and square. It's an unbelievable thing to watch him do his thing each and every time out, because there's this, like I said at the top, I hate this thing about the GOAT, but as much as like my nostalgia and my heart is with Dominic Cruz, I don't really think it's a conversation anymore now, PC. I really think he's the greatest bantamweight champion of all time. And I don't really think that it's a debate. Like, there's a lot of times that we bring this stuff up and it's like, you know, 14 in a row, another title defense, his third title defense of the calendar year, which has never happened before for a bantamweight, and only 8 times in UFC history has it happened before, period. He's trying to get on the December card to make it 4. I mean, what more can you say about this guy?
He's unbelievable, and it's just such a unique way of fighting that he has. You know, it's it doesn't feel it should work in this era of the UFC, and for a long time I think they were putting him behind the eight ball because it's not a, you know, it's not a massively spectacular style, but it's just so impressive. And I agree with you. I think Sandhagen did great to get back into the fight on a number of occasions when it felt like other guys, he's just sapped their will and it's just impossible. He gets so far ahead that it's just a gap that they can't make up. But I thought Corey had a great first round. Again, the fourth, as you say. But even in those rounds that he was losing, in the gaps that Merab was not suffocating his legs and completely smothering him, he was trying to unload. He was trying to make something happen. And I really respect that. But it really is like watching a wild animal with Merab. Like the way he traps his prey, almost. And once he has that body lock on you, you're just there. Like he's going to go from single leg to body lock to takedown. He'll let you back up to get the body lock again. He might attack a single again. Next thing you're on the ground, you get back up and he's on the body lock again. And it's just absolutely suffocating. And the thing I always find about it, and you know, we often talk about finishes and stuff because that's the currency in today's UFC. I think he's just enjoying himself in there too much. Like you hear John Wood being like, please attack the neck this time. Please, you're in the position, you're on the back, the neck is there for you, will you please attack the neck? He said this to him at the end of the third and fourth, and he's just like, yeah, yeah, I will. And next thing, he's just shoving Sandhagen up against the fence, kicking him in the legs, and smiling and waving at the fans. He's just having a blast out there. You got to love it.
It really is a joy to watch him do his thing. Some more stats and some more records for Merab.
When he takes downs.
So in the end, he finishes the night with 117 takedowns in his UFC career. Like I said, he was at 97. He gets 20, so he's now at 117. Also, this was his fifth time in the UFC landing 10 plus takedowns in a fight. That's a UFC record. Do you know how many takedown attempts he had in this fight?
I'd say over 50.
37. He had 37 takedown attempts, which is an absurd number. He landed 20 of them, so 54%. He landed 114 of the 265 significant strikes that he threw. In total, he threw 399 strikes. He landed 243 of those. And Corey Sandhagen threw 257, was 0 for 0 in terms of takedowns. It was just a really impressive and dominant performance. And I would have been blown away if he would have stopped him. And he was very close. I mean, if you go back and watch it, it looked at one moment like Corey was out and that he may have woken him up. Yeah. I would have been supremely impressed. I thought Corey had a real good chance against Merab because of the flying knees and because of, you know, how long and rangy he is, how good he is on the ground as well. But, you know, the fourth round, he showed some life. He showed some heart. He showed some fight, but I never quite felt like he was threatening here, like that it wasn't going to be Merab's fight. And now the question is, you know, he, like I said, this is his 14th win in a row, which is the fourth longest winning streak in UFC history, by the way. Anderson Silva, 16, Islam Makhachev, 15, Kamaru Usman, 15, now Merab, 14. He's inching ever so closer to that record. By the way, the 20 takedowns, according to the UFC, new 5-round UFC record and the second most ever landed in any UFC fight. The question is, like, because he has beaten so many of these guys, it's going to be tough to start finding some fresh opponents. Corey Sandhagen was a fresh new face for him, but it looks like maybe Petr Yan is the guy. There aren't a lot of options.
Bautista fighting on October 25th against who?
Like,
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just talking about if we're going for, like, you know, what is a fresh matchup? Like, if he is doing laps of the division here, we have seen situations like this before. A flyweight with Pantoja. I do feel as though, I can't remember, who is Bautista fighting on there?
Umar Nurmagomedov.
You know, he gets a win there. Like, we're not too far away from that. That's, what, 3 weeks away? Yep. Gets a win there, like that's a huge win.
There's
like,
Jan, there's this fight. If Bautista wins, there's Ayman Zahabi, who's on a bit of a roll.
I want Jan and fucking Sean O'Malley. Don't be killing me. Can we just do that again, please?
And then
we can.
I feel like we might get Jan, to be honest.
Jan Merab or Jan O'Malley?
Yeah, no, Jan Merab.
Yeah. And look, I love Jan. I think he's class. But that first fight was a tough one, you know.
Yeah, it was very, very, very one-sided.
it was like a Merab masterclass. It was like the most Merab fight you'll ever watch. You know what I mean? So it's just hard to get me up for that.
Yeah. Can I just say, I was a little bit not concerned. I was just wondering, Merab came out with those glasses and he was smiling and dancing. And I was like, is this guy feeling himself a little bit? Like, is this what I, you know, I noticed, you know, the hair is looking all nice on fight week. He's got the nice fade, the very trimmed beard. The clothes are getting a lot nice. You know, like the guy's doing well for himself. And I was like, oh, is something happening here? And then, of course, he goes out there, you know, second round, almost stops Corey Sandhagen. So
this is Pereira and Merab. We're like thinking we're onto something here. Like these lads, something's gone terribly wrong. And show up with two vintage performances. Unbelievable.
I love the fact, by the way, UFC was not on board with this guy. Like the UFC didn't want to give him a title shot. I think if he would have lost one of those title fights early on, they would have gotten rid of him. Like they didn't like his videos. They didn't like how crazy he was. They didn't like that he would injure himself doing all kinds of wacky things.
Wouldn't fight his friend.
Well. Of course. Yeah. Yes, they would. I mean, and by the way, do you know that Aljamain Sterling's wedding is tomorrow?
Yes, crazy.
And he's going to be in it?
Of course he is. You know, this is...
You know, I was invited. Did I tell you I was invited?
How are you going to say no to that one as well?
No, because Aljamain was on the show and I gave him my usual like, oh, I didn't get the save to date.
That blew up in your face, mate.
He's the first one to ever take me up on the on the guilt trip offer because he actually sent me an invitation. And I told him, I'm the best person to invite to one of these things because I'm not going to go, but I'll send you a gift. And I did send him a gift. And then he invited me to like the Friday get together. And I'm like, you're doing all of this on the same weekend that you're cornering one of your best friends? By the way, shout out to his wife or his fiance, soon to be his wife tomorrow. Like on the Saturday, the night before his wedding, he's at T-Mobile Arena cornering the bantamweight champion of the world. You know, usually you're having a dinner, you're doing whatever. I guess she's very understanding.
You have to Saint be, of like all of these significant others for fighters. I mean, how do they do it? It's absolutely mental, but fair play. That is absolutely fantastic. And of course he is. And we're going to see some videos of him tomorrow, probably dancing at the wedding.
Yes.
Probably having the time of his life. You know what I mean? This is why we love the guy. And I cannot wait to see those videos.
He's a very lovable guy. Shout out to Yusuf Salal, PT. Do you know how many strikes were thrown in this fight against Josh Emmett?
No, I'd say.
One total. He wins via armbar at 138. No tap, a verbal submission, but this was incredible stuff. You look at the stats here. Emmett, zero strikes thrown, zero strikes landed, obviously, and Zalal just one strike thrown and got the takedown, and that was it. Actually, if I'm looking at this correctly, wait a second. Yeah, just Zalal, 0-for-1 as far as significant strikes, one takedown and then one sub attempt. And that was it. What a win for Zalal, right? And what a story, too.
Oh, unbelievable. Like making his way back to the UFC and just going on this absolute tear. Did it remind you of Anthony Pettis' armbar against Benson Henderson?
Benson Henderson, yes.
Do you know when he just walks away, it just seems real tight and you're just like, it's over. And you're like, oh my God.
And the crowd, I think, was a little bit confused, right? I think they thought, wait a second, what just happened here? Sort of like that Pettis and Benson Henderson one in Milwaukee way back in the day. UFC 164, to be exact.
Look at you. You had the trophy. I thought I was hitting you with something there, and you're like, this is boom.
That was a great one. That was the one where Benson Henderson showed up with the shorts with the black belt on it, which is always a death knell. Every time someone showed up with the black belt shorts, they got submitted.
Apart from BJ.
Yeah, apart from that.
Come on.
Yeah.
The pioneer of the black belt shorts.
Sure. I mean, other than is what I meant. Other than Baby J. But a nice story there. Yusuf Zalal, the Moroccan devil, very likable character.
What about the takedown?
He just
smashed into him. Like, he just fucking, it was like a truck. Like, look at Josh Emmett. He is a tank. And Zalal, like, looks smaller in stature than him. He just crashed into him. And it was down on the ground. And then immediately just kind of transitioned into that situation. Like, he's so impressive, man. Like, that's crazy, dude. Josh Emmett, like, it's an insane win for him. And I think it's the kind of win he needed. Like, I know he has the win over Kadar, and that was a decision. But this on the pay-per-view against Emmett, a guy that we've seen in there with, like, Ilya Topuria, was it five rounds with Josh Emmett? Mm-hmm. And then just see him just crash through him like that. So impressed with the guy.
This guy, Yusuf Zalal, lost to Sean Woodson in June of 2021. That was his third loss in a row. Lost to Sungwoo Choi and Ilya Taboria prior to that. Then drew majority draw against Damon Blackshear. Leaves the UFC. Wins in Sparta 93. Then wins in an organization SCL. Then wins a boxing match. Then wins a kickboxing match.
That was all the same night, mate. Oh, you have to read about this. Crazy.
Yes, same night. And then he gets back. No, then he goes to Sparta, wins, same night in MMA. Yeah, so he did MMA, boxing, and kickboxing, right, on the same night?
That was the tournament, man. Like, imagine insanity. Going from the UFC to this, like, you're fighting one night against. And do you know what? He said it was like a real, like a Champions League draw that night, like who you're going to fight. He was like, so the boxing matches for us, he's like, oh, I've got better hands than everyone. This is going to be fine. But like, you have drawn the only professional boxer that we have in this tournament, in the first round of this tournament. You know, he said it was just every round was absolute hell. So he really went back to the bottom to get back to the top, which is incredible.
And since then, he returns in March of 2024. I thought he was one of the comeback fighters of the year. Subs Billy Quarantillo, subs Jarno Ahrens, subs Jack Shore, decision Calvin Kattar, and subs Josh Emmett. Four of the five subs. Unbelievable. What a story.
He was shortlisted for comeback fighter of the year last year, I believe.
I think I gave it to him.
There from the Young Brown Boys as well.
Yeah. What a guy. What a win for him. Tremendous stuff. And then the night started with the GC Bowl, his most anticipated fight of the year. Joey Pyfe, your boy, beating Abus Magomedov. winning via second round rear naked choke.
Once again. And it didn't look like he was going to beat Joe Pyfe early on, Reggie. Sorry, let me tell you.
Do you call me Reggie? You usually talk to your dog about fights? Oh, yes.
He's usually sitting beside me on the couch, and I'm like, listen, Reg.
So you usually just say, hey, Reg, look at that.
Abbas, like, looked really good in the first round. He had Joe in some horrific situations. He had some really tight submissions. Like, it looked like it was all going wrong again. And I was like, oh, my God, this is rough. But then he came back in the second. Unbelievable. Really, really great fight. It's exactly what he needed, to be honest. And I think, again, in a really good spot in a pay-per-view to do something like that, it kind of refreshes everything for him. I know he's taken some time away from social media to generate this kind of energy, and it seems like it's done the job for Mr. BJ Pfeiffer.
I am curious about the shaved head. If you do the turkey thing, why shave the head?
Well, people like the, it's complete shave, isn't it? He's not even left the 5 o'clock shadow up there.
Yeah, what's the point then?
I mean, maybe he regrets the decision.
You think so?
Maybe it's not come in. Maybe it's gone wrong.
So you think he's just trying to press the reset button?
I'm not trying to, I don't want Joe Pyfe to go on social media tonight and be like, Joe, I'm going to take out my phone. I've had a win. And then he just turns on and it's PT Carroll going, why the fuck did he shave his head? I don't want any of that. Your hair looks great, Joe. I just was surprised.
I was surprised.
Ariel has a bit of stubble there and he's the one asking questions. You know what I mean? It's very close. Can I just say, what you've got rocking here, very close to what Joe's doing.
Yeah, but I didn't go to Turkey.
The hairline's too perfect, mate. The hairline is too perfect.
By the way, in his defense, he said he only went with his friend. He had no intentions of going, but his friend wanted to go and he said, yeah, why not? Anyway, shout out to Joe Pyfe. Great win for him. What?
Did he get the deal off the lads over there? Like, did he get the celebrity situation?
Because he went as a plus one?
You do the shame picture where you get dotted up and you're like, oh, my life is better now. I know I look ridiculous, but it's your pound of flesh that you have to pay when you're getting dotted up, isn't it? Like, you just have to go, look, I look like a fucking idiot. I'm after fucking getting dotted up here. You all abuse me.
For someone that doesn't want him to think you're coming after him, you've been going on.
Yeah, keep going. No. Don't interrupt him.
I'm not talking about Joe. I'm just talking about the industry in general. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like they all want the pound of flesh of just being like, look, see, I fucking destroyed myself, but I look great.
Sometimes there's the shots behind their back and there's like blood coming out of their neck.
They're on the flight and their swollen foreheads are just like, yeah, it was worth it.
It's awful. It's awful. I'd rather just be bald. I'd rather just be bald at that point. Yeah.
just fuck it, you know. Why do you have to put me through this shame loop? I'm just trying to correct my hairline. I don't need to show them what it looks like fucking before it's grown back. Do you know what I mean?
Truth be told, a great night for that Turkish company, because I think Marab went there too. And his hair
and
looks fantastic.
Lads have fucking yeah. great hair. Like, they're both like, wonderful. GC knows the name of the company and everything. He's cited it many times on the show.
He's now staying quiet time for some reason because they didn't get... Oh, is that it?
I think it's called Now Airtime. Shout out, Now Airtime. Now Airtime.
They pick you up in those cool limos with all the lights and stuff, you know?
Put you in a Sprinter.
Yeah. And they give you a little champagne.
What'd you say, John? Spot. What's it called? Hair Time Now. Close.
Hair Time Now.
I said Now yep. Hair Time.
Damn it. Anyway, shout out to him and his cool hair. Atiba Gautier. Shout out to Atiba Gautier. I mean, what more can we say about this guy? He is
terrifying. What the
terrifying.
Fuck, man? like he is.
He ties Tom Aspen on Ilya Topuria for the longest active UFC knockout streak with 3.
It's like he doesn't know. Like, it's like this is bound to happen. Like, that's inevitable.
Look at his body right here. Like, look at this. You know?
It's crazy.
His physique is insane. His power, I mean,
and shout out
it
Kyle
still feels
Prince
like he's not quite there. Yeah, 100%.
Like such a wild amount of work that went into that. Like, I spoke to him about it before, but I was talking to Chuck, who was at the event tonight. He was sitting in the front row with his beautiful white hat on. And I was saying, like, you need to talk about this guy, about how he did this, because it's like, do you know he was inspired by, like, Manchester City and football academies? Like, that's why he started looking into, like, how can we get guys from these areas where they don't have the facilities like we have? How could we get them over and see how they work out in a gym like this? And he went through it all. Atiba was living in his father's old house in Manchester and going training with the likes of Lerone Murphy and everything. And he's just like one of the guys now, like, fits in. And that gym obviously having outrageous success. It's a hell of a story. And another UK gym just rising up to prominence. It's amazing.
Shout out to Kabi Lam. That's the thing that Alex Pereira did. I'm going all the way to the top of the show, but I just saw it. The Kabi Lam.
Yeah, he's
or is
a
it Kabi Lame?
Shows the easy ways to do things, and then he just goes, that's how you do it.
Atiba Gautier could do that as well, by the way, because he's doing it very easy. I mean, shout out to him. By the way, shout out to Luke Barnett as well. Luke Barnett has been telling me about Atiba Gautier for a while now. Also, Lerone Murphy, part of that Manchester top team squad, and they're doing big things. They're doing big things. So that was an impressive.
Did I just say that like 2 seconds ago? They're not like Manchester top team class. And then you just went.
No, I know, but you didn't mention Luke Barnett. You didn't mention Luke Barnett. I'm trying to tie it all together.
Small fry compared to Colin.
Oh, so you're not a fan of Big Slow. You don't think Big Slow deserves any credit?
None.
Do you even know who Luke Barnett is? He's like best mates with.
Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate. Daniel Santos picked up the win over Zombie Jr. Stopped him in the second round. Our boy,
he's a lovely
Ju Sang Woo, you.
On his chest.
You like Daniel Santos, huh? You like that tattoo,
him.
Especially.
He's got that little cutie hound on his chest, and he comes out and he fights like a Rottweiler. It's very impressive. Like, he looks undersized, and then he just hits like a fucking hammer. I mean, what's not to like about this guy? You know, and your man's giving him the claps, and then he just folds him up, and you're like, listen, mate, don't mess with a fucking lad who has to take his top off for a living and has a little friendly poodle on his chest. That's the wrong guy to fuck with, mate. He does not give a fuck. It's trying not to curse. That's kind of out the window.
No, it's okay. It's 6:41 in the morning over there. Protege of one Ioani Andrzejczyk, Jakub Wyklas.
Is that the headline from that story?
I was getting to it. Yeah. Defeats Patchy Mix. What could we say about poor Patchy Mix?
What the fuck is going on, man? That does not look like the same.
Has Patchy Mix been fraud checked? Can I just ask the question?
Oh no, this is the thing you hate the most. I can't believe you of all people are bringing up the fraud check question.
I mean, it just doesn't. I honestly.
No, it looks nothing like the guy.
Yeah.
Where's the explosion gone? Where's the speed? Where's the intensity? Like, very early in this fight, he's taking shots and he's having big reactions. And I'm just like, whoa, did not. Like, let's remember, like, this because he's in against a kid here who's making his debut, a KSW champion. Let's not, like, pretend that he's some bum. But. We were thinking Patchy Mix was on a completely different level. We thought, and we all were guilty of this. Like, we all can't just hide from it now. We were all saying, the way he was looking in Bellator, he can contend for a title nearly immediately in the UFC. This is the time when Volkanovski is the champion. He looks so far away from that now. Right now, you're thinking, like, you're two fights in. Is it already over? Could this potentially already be over? Do the UFC want to see a third fight?
I think they will give him a third fight, but this is I don't recall a fighter coming over from a major organization being a champion in said organization and having this kind of start. I mean, people have started 0-2. I mean, Merab started 0-2, but he wasn't, you know, a champion in another major organization. And this drop off is just, I thought maybe, you know, the first fight, Octagon jitters. I thought maybe, you know, just was off. Took the fight on short notice, if you recall. But this is weird.
This shocking. Is very weird. It's genuinely shocking. Like it's and it just doesn't look like the same guy. You know, and people will say, oh, it's because of the competition. I don't think it is. It does not look like the same speed of athlete we saw. It does not look like the same guy that we saw taking shots. Like, very quickly, he looks rattled by the situation in this fight, which was kind of weird to see, you know? Like, it really, he was getting into positions where he usually has a lot of success and just not able to execute back takes, not able to execute even control positions, really. Like, stuff this guy looked like a jiu-jitsu phenom. He looked like the equivalent of like a BJ Penn when he arrived in the scene. Like, that's how quickly he was going through guys. To see this is honestly just so unexpected. And really, like, I hate to say this because I was such a big fan of him, but it's like one of the most underwhelming UFC signings in history based on what we were expecting, you know?
Makes you wonder just how good is Juan Archuleta.
That is what I was wondering as I was watching the fight, funny enough. I was saying that to myself.
Edmund Shahbazyan is putting it together. This was a guy who it seemed like at one point wasn't going to live up to expectations, but that was a nice win over Andre Muniz. And in picking up said win, a first round TKO, he is now at 7 finishes, and that's good for tied for second with Brendan Allen and Anthony Hernandez. As far as active middleweights are concerned, Gerald Meerschaert has 12. He's now tied for most UFC knockouts among active middleweights with 6. So shout out to Edmund Shahbazyan, who is still doing it. Wins with just 2 seconds remaining in the first round, 458 to be exact. Puna Soriano picked up a unanimous decision win. Yano Santos did as well, defeating Messi Chesson. Farid Basharat won via unanimous decision against Chris Gutierrez. Ramiz Brahimaj won via second round submission over Austin Vanderford. So Vanderford now 1-1 in his UFC career. And in a fight that made Frankie very happy, and a result to be specific, Veronica Hardy picking up the curtain jerker win over Brogan Walker. Frankie, give us your assessment of Veronica on this evening.
Oh, it was a terrific fight. Didn't expect any less.
Thank you, Frankie.
Dan Hardy getting a bit of love on the broadcast today. See that?
It was nice. Yeah,
they're just shouting him out. Bit of citation, you know what I mean?
DJ too. Cool. DJ too.
Pretty crazy. What's happening? Yeah. It's a new leaf, a new world.
The ice is thawing. It all started with the Logan Paul impulsive interview with Dana White.
Well, there you go. And look at that. All sorted out now, thank God.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, huh?
Wow,
this is crazy. His
brain is gone now at this hour.
As soon as any final thoughts? Any final thoughts? By the way, wasn't Chuck supposed to join us via phone call? You can't be bothered gallivanting up and down the strip. Oh, is he here? No, Chuck, are you there? Sorry. Any final thoughts?
He's just there. He didn't even answer.
He said he couldn't find the right hat to wear for the occasion.
He said he was going to call me as he left the arena.
But like, when did you reheat that? Like, did you say that to him today? Say, here, get ready for the call.
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, I thought we kind of just established it.
Win or learn situation for everyone, probably, I think.
Okay, we do have, I was about to wrap this up, but a few thoughts from the, or a few notes, I should say, from the press conference. Dana White has revealed that Alex Pereira wants to move up to heavyweight. Now, so just forget about everything we just said.
All right. Yeah. That's great.
So maybe that's why he...
So hang on. Like, he just won the belt and Dana's like, he's going to heavyweight.
Well,
that's what's happening now.
Maybe that's why he wanted John Jones. What about Pereira versus Jones at heavyweight? Winner gets Aspinall.
Like, then you are literally putting the two guys together that he would most want to fight and being like, let's eliminate one of these. Why don't we put John Jones against Aspinall and then put Pereira against Aspinall?
Dana White told the media this courtesy of Aaron Bronstetter. He saw Pereira at the Performance Institute today and his team told him that he wants to fight a heavyweight. He feels that there are still fights for him at light heavyweight, but talks about how much Pereira has helped the UFC when asked. White says he doesn't know what to say about whether Patchy Mix should have gotten the decision win. White says his biggest reservation about Pereira fighting at heavyweight is that he is used to fighting at middleweight and two weight classes is a big jump. I mean, sure, but he's now a two-time light heavyweight champion.
He was 235 today in the cage.
Yeah. White says that he loved that Merab wants to fight all the time. Was impressed with Joe Pyfer.
Some pretty hard-hitting stuff at this press conference, sounds like.
I'm just kind of reading it. White says that he believes Alex broke or dislocated his toe or toes. I did see that.
Yeah, I saw him messing with them, yeah.
Yeah, he was playing around. He did confirm that the winner of Armin versus Dan Hooker is the number one contender, which he rarely does that. I'm just kind of reading tweets here, so I'm not actually listening to what he says. Sometimes the summation is a little bit different, but that's pretty big. November 22nd in Qatar.
Any new White House info out there or anything?
He was asked by Conor McGregor, White House. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, 700,000.
Yeah, anything?
Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
See, Conor is fired up. So I mean, the Alex Pereira, John Jones moment makes a lot more sense now because he said that he had something in mind. He didn't want to.
It's not really on though, is it? It feels like this was the situation we were trying to make happen for Aspinall, and then they just removed the belt from the situation and then they're like, right, go for it. And yeah. Like that was our issue, right? But it's also like suddenly John wants to fight and you're like, let's do the Pereira fight when the one that we all wanted was just there and we just disregard that now. Doesn't feel right, Ariel.
No, I know. I get it. I just wanted to read real quick. I mean, there's so many tweets here. I have a list on Twitter where I put all my MMA related things and there's just so much. Where is this? I wanted to just get the stats before we go. Okay. Performance bonus. Alex Pereira, Jiří Prochazka, Joe Pyfer, fight of the night, Jiří Prochazka versus Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah. Fair.
He did say that he was going to hook up Yusuf Zalal for the submission as well. The gate, 8.8 million. Attendance, 19,081, which is a pretty damn good gate, although less than Chicago and about the same as New Orleans. Let's see, last time they went to Las Vegas for International Fight Week was an $11 million gate, so a little less than that, but a solid one for the October showing. Bit more than Newark. Anyway, Alex Pereira is your new light heavyweight champion. Perhaps not for long, by the way. Could be moving up to heavyweight and vacating that. Who'd have seen that coming an hour ago? And Merab is still the champ. And Jiří Prochazka might be fighting Carlos Ellberg for the vacant title by the time this is all said and done. There are your results.
A lot happened there.
We've done two post shows this weekend, PT, and I still maintain 50-45 is the worst scorecard in the history of MMA.
It's tough.
Yeah, I've had a lot of, I don't know if you had a lot of people reaching out to you from the scoring cards world over the last 24 hours.
Good reaching out or bad reaching out?
Well, you know, trying to spit some game in my ear about it, and I'm like, you're not going to fucking do this to me. Listen, I know you think you're playing jazz here, but you aren't, all right?
No.
It's fucking mental. That's someone like, just because, you know, just because you could theoretically say, oh yeah, like maybe there is a possibility that that you could possibly, you know, see, and you're like, but what is the percentage of possibility here? Like that someone could see the fight that way. It's just, and then you put the referee situation, you put the transparency with the scorecards, three times they had to give us the scorecards before it accurately depicted what was meant to have happened. Too many flags on the play there for PFL on a night when so many people were tuning in. And a brilliant fight, been marred by constant chatter about what was right, what was wrong, and blah, blah, blah. And that's unfortunately the bottom line.
Special shout out to Platinum Mike Perry, who defeated Jeremy Stevens tonight at The Rock in Newark Prudential Center. Great fight. Freaking Jeremy Stevens showed all the heart in the world. Ended up getting stopped very late in the fifth and final round. Mike Perry back. And a familiar face or two might have been in attendance.
Who?
More on that in the days to come. You know yourself, PT. We're fucking back. Not only are we fucking back, we're fucking better than ever. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Well done.
Enjoy your Sunday, PT.
Yo, what about that punch? About that? Can I just mention, like, the Queen of Ireland's fight? That punch you landed on board, just the noise of it, though. Like, it was crazy. If you haven't seen that, please go and watch it. Fourth round. Shot was sick.
Nice little tight show. 4 hours start to finish. Started at 6, ended at 10. Quick 10 fights, back to back, no filler. You might ask, how do I know this? Well, I'll tell you about it later. I'll tell you about it later, PZ. I'll tell you about it later. We got to go to bed. We've got a long day ahead of us, and we've talked for way too long. Thank you for that, Frankie. It's been a great day here at Uncrowned HQ. Boys held it down with the post show. I noticed a lot of the tchotchkes in the back weren't there. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Seemed like a lot of redecorating. I'm sure everything will be exactly where I left it on Monday.
Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me, mate.
Bills Pats, Sunday night. Shout out. Oh, is that it for the music? Is a quick track, Frankie?
Yeah, man. It's like a.
I thought he was going to start dropping some bars there, to be honest. He was kind of eating up there.
Anyone catch the Blue Jays game against the Yankees? Game one? Nah, we won't bring that up. We're out of time, everyone. Congratulations, Alex, Marab, Yuri, all the big winners. Bye, PT. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
We're out of here.